From Spark and Anvil and Stone Song, this is Patient Bamboo and Hungry Crane in Chapter 1 of the Stone Song cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The teaching room at the academy settled into a profound quiet as late afternoon shadows stretched across the polished wooden floor. In a corner, a 13 by 13 go board lay waiting on a low, unadorned table. Two thick cushions faced each other, inviting players to settle in, while small wooden bowls, one filled with smooth black stones and the other with gleaming white, sat poised on either side. Wen, the newest apprentice, had spent 3 weeks immersed in study. For 15 games, he had faced only the practice mat, a flat training board that presented a written script of moves to follow. He had diligently won every script, a hollow victory against an opponent that never captured, never truly fought back. The practice mat offered endless patience, a silent, unchallenging teacher. But today marked a different beginning, Wen's first true game. He would play against the pair, Patient Bamboo and Hungry Crane. Wen would command the black stones, while the two masters would share the white, alternating their moves. This unique arrangement promised a deeper lesson, allowing Wen to glimpse the distinct strategies each master employed. Wen carefully lowered himself onto the cushion, feeling the soft give beneath him. The board's grid presented a clean, intricate lattice of 13 horizontal and 13 vertical lines, punctuated by small, significant dots at the star points. With a breath, Wen reached for a black stone, its cool weight a reassuring presence in his palm. He placed it with deliberate precision on the upper right star point, a silent declaration. The game had begun.
The initial 10 moves unfolded with an almost meditative stillness. Patient Bamboo, taking the first turn for white, placed a stone in the lower left corner, establishing a quiet presence near her star point. Wen responded by mirroring her, securing his own upper left corner. Then Patient Bamboo made a puzzling move. A single white stone dropped into the exact center of the board, far from any other piece. Wen's brow furrowed in confusion. The stone seemed utterly isolated, with nothing to attack and nothing to defend. It simply existed there, a solitary dot on the vast grid. "That stone is alone," Wen observed, his voice barely a whisper. "Indeed," Patient Bamboo affirmed, her tone calm and steady. "But what purpose does it serve?" Wen pressed, trying to decipher the master's strategy. "For now, very little," Patient Bamboo explained. "However, in 20 moves, it will become the nucleus of the board's largest territory. It will function as the crucial anchor for our entire white framework. Right now, it grows slowly, then suddenly." Wen gazed at the central stone, struggling to reconcile its current inertness with Patient Bamboo's grand prediction. It truly appeared to be doing nothing at all. "You won't fully grasp it yet," Patient Bamboo said gently, a faint smile touching her lips. "And that is perfectly acceptable. Continue playing. We shall observe its unfolding." Wen, still perplexed, connected his upper left and upper right groups with a black stone. Patient Bamboo, unhurried, placed another quiet stone in the lower right corner, mirroring her earlier move. Now, four white stones were spread across the board's quadrants, none touching, none threatening. They seemed to float in their own spaces, disconnected and serene. Hungry Crane, who had yet to make a move, sat beside Patient Bamboo, her posture alert. Her dark eyes, bright with an intensity Wen hadn't noticed before, followed every placement. By the 10th move, Wen had diligently constructed a solid black framework along the upper half of the board. Patient Bamboo, meanwhile, had quietly established a sprawling white presence, encompassing the four corners and that enigmatic central stone. Not a single capture had occurred on either side. "This game feels incredibly slow," Wen remarked, a hint of impatience in his voice. "Yes," Patient Bamboo agreed. "Masterful Go often begins with such deliberate pacing. The positions must ripen, like fruit on a vine. We are seeding the board." Then, on move 12, the game's rhythm abruptly shifted. Hungry Crane reached into the white stone bowl, her movements swift and decisive. She placed a stone directly adjacent to one of Wen's black stones on the upper edge of the board. The change was instantaneous and startling. Wen's upper right black group, which had felt secure moments before, now found itself with only three open spaces, or liberties, surrounding it. Its comfortable stability had vanished, replaced by a sudden, undeniable vulnerability. Wen's head snapped up, his gaze meeting Hungry Crane's. "You attacked," he stated, a note of surprise in his voice. "Indeed I did," Hungry Crane confirmed, her expression unwavering. "Your group in the upper right possessed four liberties. Now it holds only three. Should you fail to defend, I will claim two more, effectively capturing it. The crane, you see, has spotted its fish." "What if I choose to escape?" Wen asked, considering his options. "You are welcome to run," Hungry Crane replied. "But every move spent in flight is a move not spent building your own territory. While you are occupied defending, my partner, Patient Bamboo, is free to play anywhere else on the board. You are expending precious tempo, while we are steadily gaining strategic position." Wen considered her words, a cold knot forming in his stomach. The attacked group was undeniably crucial. It served as the anchor for his entire upper right corner. Losing it would mean forfeiting that entire section of the board, a devastating blow. With a sigh, Wen played a defensive move, adding a black stone that immediately restored two liberties to the threatened group. It was safe again, at least for the moment, but the cost felt significant. Patient Bamboo, observing the exchange, then made her move. She placed a stone in the center, extending her quiet middle stone towards the right side of the board. That once isolated stone, which Wen had dismissed as inert, was now visibly integrated into a growing white framework. Wen frowned, a new understanding dawning. Patient Bamboo's middle stone was no longer alone. "Now it has companions," Patient Bamboo said, her voice carrying a quiet satisfaction. "Its growth is no longer slow."
The pattern repeated over three more intense rounds. Hungry Crane launched a swift assault on the lower left section of Wen's framework, forcing him to dedicate a move to defense. Patient Bamboo, meanwhile, calmly extended her white framework along the right side of the board. Then, Hungry Crane attacked again, this time along the bottom edge, compelling Wen to defend once more. Each time Wen reacted, Patient Bamboo used the opportunity to expand her influence. By move 25, the transformation was undeniable. The entire center of the board now belonged to white. Patient Bamboo's anchor stone, the one that had initially appeared so insignificant, had become the crucial, essential piece of an enormous, unassailable territory. Wen stared at the board, a profound sense of awe and defeat washing over him. "You claimed the center," Wen whispered, his voice laced with disbelief, "without ever engaging in a single fight for it." "I planted its seed on move two," Patient Bamboo responded, her gaze steady. "It may have seemed passive then, but its purpose was anything but. It was simply ripening." "But Hungry Crane's attacks," Wen began, trying to connect the disparate strategies. "My attacks compelled you to defend," Hungry Crane interjected, her voice clear. "Every move you spent protecting your groups was a move not invested in building your own territory. I had no need to capture your stones. My sole objective was to make you expend tempo." Patient Bamboo then skillfully utilized that tempo to construct her central domain. Wen looked from one master to the other, a sudden, profound understanding illuminating his features. "You worked together," he murmured, the revelation settling deep within him. "We always work together," Patient Bamboo confirmed, her words ringing with ancient wisdom. "I cannot achieve this without her swiftness, and she cannot achieve her goals without my foundational framework. If Hungry Crane attacks without my established territory supporting her, her moves become greedy. She might secure small captures, but ultimately forfeits the larger game. Conversely, if I merely build without her aggressive probes ahead of me, my frameworks remain slow. The opponent gains all the tempo, encircling my quiet stones before they can fully ripen. Together, we embody the complete game." Hungry Crane added,
her voice a shade softer. Patient Bamboo plans for 30 move arcs, envisioning the distant future of the board. I, however, play for the very next move, focusing on immediate tactical advantage. Both approaches represent valid, essential moves. The game in its entirety encompasses both.
The game continued for another 20 moves, but the dynamic had fundamentally shifted. Wen, now learning with remarkable speed, began to emulate Patient Bamboo, strategically planting his own quiet stones as anchors for future territory. By move 45, the board presented a complex tapestry of slow-built frameworks and swiftly exchanged tempo moves, a testament to the integrated strategies at play. The game concluded with a meticulous count of territory. Patient Bamboo and Hungry Crane, playing as a unified force, had secured 28 points of territory. Wen, despite his impressive effort, had accumulated 24. Wen had lost, yet he had lost by an astonishingly narrow margin of only 4 points in his very first real game against two masters after merely 3 weeks of study. It was a defeat that felt remarkably like a triumph. Patient Bamboo offered a slow, approving nod. "That was a truly exceptional first game," she stated. "You nearly held us off," Hungry Crane added, her bright eyes now conveying respect. "By move 30, your defensive play had become remarkably sound. You began to plant your own quiet stones, understanding their long-term value. You ceased chasing every minor capture I threatened, instead interpreting my attacks as tempo loss rather than actual loss of territory. That is the core lesson. Most apprentices require 10 games, sometimes more, to internalize that distinction. You grasped it by move 30 of your very first game." Wen remained silent, his gaze fixed on the board for a long contemplative moment. The 45 scattered stones were no longer mere individual pieces. They coalesced into a vivid narrative. He saw his own quiet stones, planted late in the game as understanding dawned, interwoven with the pair's contrasting slow and fast moves. He understood the territorial outcome, a direct consequence of both kinds of play working in concert. "You teach as a pair," Wen said softly, the insight profound. "I believe I must also play as a pair, within myself, cultivating both halves, the patient half and the swift half." "Precisely," Patient Bamboo affirmed. "That is the essence of the apprenticeship, to be patient, then decisive. The bamboo grows slowly, steadily, then suddenly bursts forth. The crane sees the fish, swift, exact, never greedy. Both types of moves are inherently yours. They have always resided within you. You simply need to remember to call upon them both." Stone, the mentor, had been leaning quietly in the doorway, observing the final 10 moves in his characteristic, unmoving way. He spoke, his voice a low rumble. "A commendable first game, Wen. Tomorrow, you will again face the practice mat. The day after, you will play against me. Subsequently, you will challenge the pair once more. Each opponent will impart a distinct rhythm of patient and decisive play." Wen bowed slightly to the board, acknowledging the silent teacher. He bowed respectfully to Patient Bamboo, then to Hungry Crane, and finally to Stone. The two masters and the mentor returned his bow, a shared moment of respect. Then, Wen began the careful, deliberate task of picking up the stones, one by one, returning them to their designated bowls. Black to black, white to white. Slowly, without any trace of hurry. This meticulous clearing of the board, Stone had once explained, was itself an integral part of the game. And as the stones clicked softly back into place, Wen noticed the tight, anxious knot that had gripped his stomach all through the game had finally loosened and gone. What settled in its place was something warmer and quieter, a little tired, a little proud, an unfamiliar contentment he could not quite name. He had lost the game, and yet he felt, for the first time, like he truly belonged at the board.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Patient Bamboo and Hungry Crane. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.